Gosh, it has been a while now since I recorded a podcast, so I'm super excited to be checking in with you guys again. This episode is going to be a recap of everything that's happened since we last chatted. I left Hawaii, I now live in LA, and just so much has gone on. And then at the end, I'm also going to be doing a Q&A and just letting you guys know about the future of the podcast from here on out. So as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to be recording again. This is really, really exciting. So first and foremost, I have to tell you guys what my current obsession is, because that is how I start every episode, right? So as you might have noticed on Instagram, there is a new feature and it is called Reels. And I am absolutely obsessed with Reels. At first, I didn't know if I would be, because I was like, okay, this is basically a ripoff of TikTok, and it definitely is. But I am somebody who really loves doing video and not so much taking still photos. So Reels are kind of an opportunity to be really creative, create videos, add music, disappearing text, all that good stuff. It's just a lot more engaging way, I think, to share information with your audience and teach something, whether that is educational, inspirational, it doesn't matter what your niche is, but highly recommend trying them out. And yes, they are extremely intimidating and they do have a bit of a learning curve, you guys. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've spent many hours working on editing mine, which seems like a waste of time in hindsight, but at the same time, it takes trial and error to learn how to do new things, and I think they're totally worth it. Just looking at the reach that they are getting, my recent reels have gotten about 10 times the reach of any still photo that I've posted in like probably the past 5 months. So I think that's a good reason to try them out. Let's get into the recap and why I left Hawaii. That's been a main question from a lot of you guys on Instagram, which I totally get. It's like, why in the world would you leave Hawaii, Amy? So let's just dive right into it. A couple months ago, the last time I recorded a podcast, I was in Hawaii. I lived there. You guys know we kind of moved out there, my husband and I, on a whim, right before everything happened with the shutdown and the quarantine and all of that. So we were out in Hawaii for a couple of months, and don't get me wrong, it was absolutely incredible. We rented this amazing house, amazing view in Lahaina, for those of you guys who are familiar with that area. So beautiful. We had our own pool, and it was just, I honestly couldn't have imagined a better place to kind of ride out the quarantine. However, after a couple of months, just the lifestyle there is very slow. Anybody who's been to Hawaii knows that it's very calm, it's very slow, and at the time, pretty much nothing was open. There was no tourism for obvious reasons, and there just wasn't a lot happening. And as much as I love that and appreciate that break once in a while that Hawaii can offer to me, and I, of course, have like such an incredible connection with the island, I just, where I'm at in my life right now, I am really needing more than that. And I feel like my business is going big places, and I want to do, you know, social things, and I'm young, and I want to go out and like, obviously, you guys, I'm talking about like once it's, everything's open again and I'm able to do this, but LA is just the perfect combination of everything that I love to do with the weather, the restaurants, the social scene. It's really fun and also still has a bit of that tropical vibe, which is why we decided ultimately to move back here. And I want more out of my life than just chilling at the beach. And I'm not that there's anything wrong with that. And I know that some people are extremely happy doing that, but I just have a lot more that I want to do. And I can only chill at the beach for so long. You guys, you know how I am about my skin being in the sun. So, anyways, my parents are out there, so I'm sure I'll be going back and getting you guys all of the premium Hawaii content in the months to come, so don't worry. But it was the right decision, and I'm so happy to be back in LA. We found like a really nice house in the perfect location, and as you guys may have seen, we also got a dog. Her name is Bijou, and she is a little Pomeranian. She's actually sleeping right next to me right now, and honestly, she has just added so much joy to my life. I always knew that I wanted to get a dog, when the timing was right and I had a yard that she could run in, and I felt like I was 100% sure that I didn't want to, you know, start traveling the world again. And that's kind of how I feel right now. Like, I don't see myself being a digital nomad again, probably ever. I mean, I always want to be traveling. You guys know this. I love to travel, but there's something about the stability that comes with having a home and having a place to return to that gives me a lot of peace and grounding, which is something that I personally really need. So having Bijou is just added so much to my life. And definitely check out my Instagram stories. I made her an Instagram account if you guys want some Pomeranian content, okay? Now, another thing that I will say is, as much as I am really happy to be back in LA, there has been just a lot going on for me mentally, I guess I would say. That's the best way to describe it since we've gotten back here. I have been feeling, you know, kind of a wave of depression that I haven't felt in 10, 15 years, which, to be quite honest with you guys, is pretty frustrating. Like, I feel like, and I've talked about this, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, that depression is something that I've dealt with in the past. And I kind of felt like I was over that hurdle and I'm like in the clear and I don't have to deal with it anymore. And just lately, I think the hard thing for me too is not being able to pinpoint the source of it, because I'm a very action-oriented person. So I'm like, okay, if I know why I'm feeling this way, then I can put the action steps in place to get over it so I can feel better and get to my end result. And the problem with how I'm feeling, or how I have been feeling this past month or so, is that there's really nothing that I can tie this wave of sadness to. I mean, my life is going incredibly well. My business is thriving. I live in my dream area. My family and friends are doing well. My health is there. I mean, I have everything that I could possibly want, to be quite honest. And I'm so grateful for all of those things. And I'm very focused on the gratitude and feeling the gratitude. But then there's just this kind of, I guess I could say, like, fear or overwhelm in the back of my mind, this feeling of, I don't know if I can handle this, or this is too much for me. This feeling of overwhelm that I don't know if anybody who's listening to this has ever felt before, especially if you run your own business, kind of this feeling of like, this is too much. Everything feels like too much and I don't know if I can handle it. And I like to be really upfront and honest with you guys, and tell you that I think this is something that entrepreneurs a lot of times don't talk about. A lot of times we hear, you know, this feeling, or maybe you have this feeling of like, you know, once my business is successful and I'm making tons of money, then I will be able to relax and just chill and enjoy what I've created. And that is the biggest crock of shit, you guys. At least for me, I totally had that thought, because when I started my business, there was really no risk involved. I was like, I'm gonna start this business for a couple $100s, and if it fails, then, I mean, worst case scenario, I'll just get another job. And so it was really low risk for me. I had a lot of fun. And I honestly think that's why it grew to the level that it did. But what nobody talks about is that then once you hit that level of success, that's when it becomes a little bit, at least for me, a little bit harder, because there is this level of, okay, now I need to maintain this. And how do I sustain this level of success while still having fun and enjoying my life? Because that's why we go into business for ourselves, right? Is so that we can be in control of our time and enjoy what we do for a job. So that's kind of where I've been at recently. And it is definitely hard to share in a public way, because I like to keep things inspirational and aspirational, and I like to show you guys, you know, this is what's possible if you stick to it and you put in the work and you do all of these things. But I would be completely inauthentic if I didn't also share that I've been going through some shit too. And I'm sure that everybody who's listening to this maybe has been going through something as well. I mean, obviously there's so much going on in the world right now. It's kind of impossible to avoid that. But I just wanted to be really honest. And that has been part of the reason why I've taken kind of a hiatus from the podcast, is that truly there are days when I wake up and I just don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like creating content. I don't feel like getting on Instagram stories. I barely feel like leaving my house. And so those are the ways that I know that, like, okay, Amy, you need to prioritize your mental health. You need to, you know, figure out the things that bring you joy again and do those. And those are so much more important than literally anything else. It doesn't matter if you aren't, you know, working on the thing that's going to make you $100,000 next month. It honestly, at this point, like, your mental health is more important than anything else. So I'm telling that to myself right now. I'm telling that to you listening, if that's how you're feeling. And I think this is also, as frustrating it is as it is to feel like, oh my gosh, I thought I was over this whole depression thing and it's now it's back. It has reminded me of what it feels like to be in that place. And it almost, I'm looking at it with a sense of gratitude because it has given me this sense of empathy that I think I kind of lost because it was so many years ago that I felt this way. And it's brought it back to my attention that this is such an important topic. And it's really inspired me to kind of diversify the types of things that I'm talking about on this podcast, and bringing mental health into the conversation, bringing just so many other topics into the conversation. Because as much as I love business and I will always be focusing on, you know, online business and marketing and social media and all of that kind of business related stuff, we are all such multifaceted people. I don't know about you guys, but there are so many topics other than online business that I am interested in and I love to talk about and I want to interview other experts on. And so I also wanted to just let you guys know, as this podcast kind of moves forward and sort of relaunches, which I'm very excited about, we're going to be talking about a lot of different topics. And I'm kind of just following my joy and the things that are interesting and fun to me. And I hope that that kind of encourages you to do the same, because there's just something so magnetic about a person, I think, that is just following their heart and doing the things that make them happy, even if that's not necessarily, you know, quote unquote, what they should be doing to be successful. So there's my two cents. And I just want to say thank you again for returning to the podcast, listening to this episode, or maybe this is your first episode ever. And if so, then I really encourage you to go back and listen to all of the previous ones. Hold up, you guys. I have to remind you that my online course academy is opening up enrollment soon. So if you're somebody who wants to create, launch, and sell your own online course in less than 60 days, even if you have a very small audience right now, I'm going to tell you how you can grow your audience simultaneously as you create your online course content. And you don't even have to be certified in anything necessarily to create an epic profitable online course, okay? I'm going to teach you how to take your life experience, your passions, your purpose, and turn it into a step-by-step program that gets your students results and leaves you a wealthy, wild woman, okay? So make sure you are on the wait list. Just go to rebelnutrition.com/course VIP list. Again, that is rebelnutrition.com/course VIP list. And put your name on the waitlist, because by doing this, by getting on the VIP list, you're going to be the first to know when doors open. And FYI, you are going to get access to a very, very, very special price that is not going to be advertised anywhere else except my VIP list, okay? So again, if you want to create, launch, and sell your own online course before the end of the year, head over to rebelnutrition.com/course VIP list. And you will get first access into the course. Okay, let's continue on with this episode. All right, you guys, so now we're gonna get into the Q&A. I asked on my Instagram stories what you guys wanted to hear about, and I was very excited to see that some of you were interested in skincare. So I'm gonna start with some skincare questions and get into some more business and marketing ones towards the end, okay? But the first question was the current skin and makeup products that I'm loving. So I recently did a reveal peel for my melasma and hyperpigmentation. So you guys know I've like kind of struggled with sun damage and dark spots for a while now, and I occasionally do a peel, which I found to be the most effective thing for me personally to get rid of that sun damage and dark spots and melasma. There are so many different causes of melasma, you guys. I'm gonna have an expert coming on here shortly to talk about all of the internal causes and what to do about it. obviously avoiding the sun, but to get rid of any of that previous damage, I've really had a lot of success with different types of peels. So I recently did the Reveal peel. I was totally sold on it when I went to my dermatologist. I actually go to Dr. Rivkin here in LA. And it's been only a couple of days, so I'm not going to give my full thoughts on it yet, but I definitely have seen an improvement so far. My skin kind of still is peeling. This one takes a little bit longer. It's like a month or 2 months of using this cream every single night. So my skin is going to be a little bit red and flaky for a while, but then hopefully after that time has passed, then I will have baby skin again. But as far as the products go that I've been loving lately, I have to give you guys a whole list, and I will link to these in the show notes as well, but be sure to check some of these out. I am absolutely obsessed, and you guys know that I never share anything that I'm not fully obsessed with. So number one is the caffeine eye cream from this brand called The Inky List. And you guys, if you have not checked out The Inky List yet, you must, because so they're sold at Sephora, and they're kind of like single ingredient products, which I really like, because then you can seek out like one thing. Like this one is caffeine eye cream. Obviously it has a couple other ingredients in there, but that's the main thing. And the purpose of the eye cream is to depuff and help with dark circles. But the Inky List is really cool because it's like really high quality skincare for a lower price. So this eye cream, you guys, was $7 and it actually works. So you can go, and they have a lot of different options. I think they have like a vitamin C. They have all of these different single ingredient products that normally would be $30, $40, $50, and you can get it for a lot cheaper and they work. So I highly recommend checking them out.
Next up, I am loving the I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Ole Henriksen.
It's a Find Your Balance cleanser. It's in the green bottle, and I love this cleanser because I have oily skin, specifically around like my chin and jaw. I've been breaking out a lot, especially with all of the stress and the maskne that's happening from wearing a mask all of the time. And a lot of the cleansers I was finding weren't leaving my skin feeling clean. So this really does, and it even has like a little bit of a minty tingle to it, which I absolutely love. So Ole Henriksen Find Your Balance cleanser. Next up, and I have to shout out my sister, Ashley, for recommending this brand to me. It is Tata Harper, and it is the Moisture Lock Moisturizer. I just got it in the little sample set, and I am obsessed with it. Not only does it smell amazing, but it kind of has like a hyaluronic acid type of feel, so it's not super thick, but it looks great under your makeup. It gives you kind of a dewy look, and I'm obsessed with it. Definitely, definitely try it out. Okay, next up, because you guys know I'm obsessed with being safe in the sun, I have to include an SPF in here. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I am generally a hard sell when it comes to SPF. I don't like things to smell like sunscreen. I don't like them to leave a white stain on my face. I don't like them to feel greasy or break me out. So I'm very, very specific about the sunscreen that I like. And I found this Peter Thomas Roth. It's a hyaluronic acid plus SPF. I think it's SPF 45, which is amazing. And you wouldn't even know that it's SPF. It's more like a hyaluronic acid. It goes on so smoothly. It looks amazing under your makeup. It leaves you looking dewy, just like the Tata Harper Moisture. And I highly recommend it. Honestly, it's probably my favorite SPF I've ever used. And I probably will never switch. Knock on wood. I mean, until I find something better, but it's amazing. Okay, so switching gears now to makeup. I am always on the hunt for, obviously I have a thing with under eyes because I have been looking for a creaseless under eye concealer. So I need something really thick because I have pretty dark under eye circles. So I was looking for something that had thick coverage and did not crease. And I found the most amazing under eye concealer. You guys, you only need a tiny drop of it. It is Tarte brand. And it is I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's Maracuja creaseless under eye concealer. I just got the little mini one, which I actually love when companies make minis because then you can try it out and decide if you like it before getting the full one. But I'm definitely going to buy the full one. It is amazing. If you struggle with your under eyes creasing or you feel like nothing gives you enough coverage, I definitely recommend trying that one out. Now, as far as foundation goes, and this is the question I've gotten from you guys a lot on Instagram, is which
foundation I use, and I absolutely love Charlotte Tilbury. So I use the Charlotte Tilbury Flawless Filter Foundation. It really does make your skin look like you're using an Instagram filter, but in real life. And it is thick coverage, it doesn't crease, leaves you nice and dewy. Obviously, this is the theme here. I love feeling nice and dewy, but I highly recommend checking that out. And last but not least, I love the Marc Jacobs mascara. So I'm not a big makeup person, you guys. I rarely even wear mascara, to be honest. But what I was finding was that every mascara that I was trying was leaving like a little black stain right underneath my eyebrow because my eyelashes are pretty long. And it was just so annoying. But this Marc Jacobs mascara, and I don't even think it's waterproof, but it does not leave that little stain. So highly recommend if that's a problem for you. And again, all of these will be linked in the show notes if you guys want to check them out. But the next question we will get into is about staying motivated and how to get over comparison. So I love this question because when we think about motivation, we kind of think of it as like, okay, I'm gonna wait and do this project until I'm feeling motivated for it. But the honest truth is, at least what I've found to be true in my own life, my own business, is that sometimes motivation just doesn't come. So it's really not a great idea, I don't think, to wait for motivation to hit because it just might not. So instead, you can really, what has helped me is just maintaining that focus on my why. Why am I doing this? Why do I want to start a business? When I first started my business, back when I was a minimalist and I had no money and I was working another job and I was like, I have to make this work. What kept me going and what actually made me excited to put in the work every single day was thinking about what the outcome was going to be and focusing on that, knowing that, you know, when my business was successful, not if, but when my business became successful, that I would be able to have the freedom to travel and to buy things that I wanted that weren't necessarily essential, you know, having more freedom in my schedule, in my finances, all of those things. So really focus on your why. Focusing on helping people, on the lives that you're going to impact, and staying connected to that is going to make those times that you are tired, but you know that you have to put in the work, it's going to make those feel so much more purpose-driven when you're connected to your why and you're staying connected to that. And now kind of a more, I guess, strategic way to improve your motivation too, you guys, is to make sure you are really stringent with your time. So be sure to take weekends off. The number one reason I feel unmotivated is because I am not taking enough time off. I'm not taking weekends off, and somehow my work starts to bleed into all of my free time. So if you find yourself feeling really unmotivated, ask yourself when the last time you took a full day off was, when you weren't still posting to Instagram or, you know, trying to write an email or have a sales call or something like that. Take full weekends off. If you have to lock your phone in another room, do it. But it really will help you regain your inspiration and motivation to keep going when you have proper breaks, okay? And as far as getting over comparison goes, you guys, we've all heard this before. Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm reading this Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty, and he talks about the three cancers of the mind, and they are criticizing, comparing, and complaining. And this was such a aha moment for me to realize that comparing is literally stealing your joy. It's stealing your inspiration. It's not helping you in any way, but it is one of those things that's really sneaky. So you might be scrolling on Instagram and not even realizing that you are comparing yourself to all of these different businesses that you follow or whatever it is that you are trying to achieve or have in your life. You're probably subconsciously comparing yourself to other people that you are friends with or maybe that you follow online. So just being really, really aware those times when you are mindlessly scrolling or you start to have thoughts creep in about, oh my gosh, like look at them doing this thing that I want or whatever. Literally the best, quickest way to get rid of this is to just hide or unfollow anybody who you find yourself comparing yourself to. And obviously that's not like the end solution because it has nothing to do with those people. It has everything to do with you. And we have to take responsibility for not comparing ourselves. But that can be an easy way to just pinpoint where the comparison is starting so that we can get over it.
So the moment you start feeling negatively about yourself, when you are talking to somebody else, you're looking at somebody else's website, you're looking at somebody's Instagram feed, if you even feel the slightest twinge of, oh my gosh, I should be doing it that way, or I'm not as far as they are, or anything like that, just mute them, just unfollow them, and turn off your phone and look internally and ask yourself, like, am I doing the best that I can right now? Am I on my own path? Am I doing things the way that I want to be doing them? Am I doing the best that I can? And if the answer is yes, then feel good about that, because you don't need to be comparing yourself to anybody else's timeline. Everybody is on a completely different path. Everybody has a completely different story. And what makes you unique and special and what's going to make your business successful is that you are you. All right, the next question was about marketing and marketing the thing that you're selling online. So whether that is an online course, a program, an ebook, whatever it is that you're selling. So I've talked about marketing and launching quite a bit. I think I have a couple other episodes on this, but let's just go over this again really quick, because actually this was a question that I got a couple of times. So first, I want you to pick a 5 to 10 day span of days in the future where you're going to be launching. Okay, so during this set amount of time, you are going to be heavily promoting and selling whatever it is that you are selling. So let's just pretend you're selling an online course, okay? You're gonna pick 5 to 10 days, maybe a month from now, so that gives you a little bit of time to create the content leading up to the launch. You're gonna block off those days, and literally, like, that's going to be your sole focus during that time. Now, from right now until whenever those days in the future are, I want you to start creating content, free content, around the topic of your online course or the thing that you're selling. So let's say your online course is how to create an online course, which, weird, that's my course. So from now until then, I'm going to be sharing, you know, ways to think of a profitable online course topic, or how to grow your audience before you launch your online course, or how to grow your email list, or how to make sure your students get success after they've, so you can kind of pull little pieces, little bite-sized pieces of content from the topic of the thing that you're selling, and create maybe Instagram reels, create an Instagram post, create a YouTube video, a podcast, whatever it is, wherever you are online, start creating like little mini pieces of content that really speak to the ideal customer, the person who's going to ultimately be buying whatever it is that you are selling. You are also going to always wanting to be giving some sort of call to action, and that means telling people where they should be going next, essentially. So I do this a lot on my podcast and my videos. I tell you guys where you can go to sign up for one of my free trainings. So that would be considered a call to action, or you know, go to this website to download my free guide on X, Y, and Z, okay? That would be a call to action. And the purpose of doing that is because you're sending those people to the next place, which ultimately gives them something else for free, which they are going to love, and gets them on your email list. So this kind of has like, it's kind of a two-pronged approach, but that's really important. You definitely want to be building your email list and focusing on building your email list before your launch, because those people are going to be your warm audience. Those are the people that are much more likely to purchase the thing that you are selling, okay? So building your email list, and then last but not least, the week or so before you actually launch, so those 5 to 10 days that you have planned out to have your launch, the week before those days occur, you want to be pre-launching. And what I mean by that is you want to be talking about your launch nonstop. So you want to be literally telling people, don't keep any secrets here, you want to be telling them, next week, my amazing online course is opening up, and the first people that get in are going to save $200, or are going to get, you know, the special coaching call with me, or whatever it is, whatever the urgency around the thing that you're selling is, you want to tell people how they can get in on that and remind them, tell them how to get on your VIP list, invite them to your webinar, or maybe you're hosting a free challenge, or tell them to listen to your podcast that talks all about it. Okay, you want to be talking about the topics related to your online course or the thing that you're selling, and actually how people can sign up and what dates they need to remember and when they should mark their calendars. Like, be overly communicate with your audience so they know exactly how they can get it. And then, of course, when it's time to launch, you are going to be sending emails, you are going to be doing social media posts, you're going to be jumping on live trainings, Q&As. the reason why I recommend blocking off, you know, those 5 to 10 days is because you really want to be full capacity, just able to talk about your offer nonstop. I know, and it sounds like a lot. You're for sure going to feel like you're being annoying. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, everyone's so sick of hearing about this. But the bottom line is, you guys, is that not everybody sees everything that we do online. Not everybody is going to be actually reading your emails or actually watching your Instagram stories or actually attending your webinar. So you have to really hit your warm audience in all of these different places. I mean, hopefully people are seeing every piece of content because that means they're just going to get more and more reminders about when and how and why they should show up. But doing multiple different avenues of promotion is the best way to get the most people into your course or into your program as possible, okay? And I have a lot of other podcasts on marketing and launching, so if you guys want more details on that, I highly recommend going back through the old podcast. There are tons about launching online courses, all that good stuff, okay? Now, last but not least, the last question I have is, I don't have a degree in anything, but I want to do what you do. Do you have any advice? Yes, because you don't need to have a degree in anything. Honestly, I do personally, I have a college degree, but it's not related whatsoever to what I do. And I would advise you that don't talk yourself out of doing the things that you want to do just because you feel like you don't have certain credentials. So I see this a lot too, is health coaches or nutritionists a lot, they don't feel comfortable seeing one-on-one clients yet because they don't have enough credentials, or they need to go back and get another certification or another certification. And you guys, it's great if you want more knowledge, but what I see a lot of times is that going back to get more certifications and more knowledge is just a way of procrastinating from building your business. So what I would recommend doing right now is, if you want to have an online business, maybe you don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet. Maybe you don't know if you're going to necessarily see one-on-one clients or create an online course or something else entirely. Maybe you want to be an influencer. What I would recommend that you do right now is start. So start creating a website, start creating content on whatever social media platform that you like. Start taking the steps towards building the business of your dreams, even if you don't know for sure if you're doing it the right way or you're doing the right thing, or even if you don't know how it's going to end up. The most important thing is that you just start and you take action. You're going to learn so many things. You're going to learn, okay, maybe I actually do want to see clients and I want to give them, you know, a personalized nutrition protocol. Well, if that's the case, then yes, you may want to go back and actually get a certification. But if you just decide that, you know what, I really love making cooking videos and I think I'm going to create a YouTube channel and do cooking videos and share affiliate links from there, which, by the way, you could totally make a full-time income from doing this if you leverage YouTube the right way, okay? There are so many ways to make an income online. Just by following your passion and doing the things that you want to be doing, you don't have to do it any, like, the certain way that somebody else has done it. You can do it the exact way that you want to do it if you start. And you can always pivot and decide that you need more education when that time comes. But most of the time, what I see is that what people actually want to be doing, which is helping a lot of people, whether that's in an online course format or YouTube or a podcast or something like that, you're helping like masses of people rather than just one-on-one, that a lot of times doesn't always require a college degree or any sort of, you know, prestigious certification or anything like that. If you want those things, great, but a lot of times they really are not needed. So I like to encourage people to start where you're at. There are so many things that you can do right now, even if you have no qualifications whatsoever, but you've had personal experience, you have an interest, you have self-taught knowledge about a certain topic. There is so much that you can do with that, okay? All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to be back. I just wanted to let you know that Online Course Academy, my online course that teaches you how to create your own online course, is going to be launching again soon. So make sure you are on the VIP list for that. Just head over to rebelnutrition.com/course VIP list. I will link to that in the show notes.
come send me a DM over on Instagram at Rebel Nutrition. Let me know that you listened to this episode, if you liked it, what questions you have. I love hearing from you guys. I always respond, and I hope you have a beautiful day.